I think his age, he does have experience, and I think there's something natural about him mm-hmm. that's bringing him, you know, into politics, into government. But it's just like in any other leadership role, you need good, solid people around you. You need people who will help him learn the ways that of politics that he may not know just yet. And I'm hoping there will be mentors in his path. And right now, I think everybody is still using the terms of, you know, his youth and first, you know, African-American young mayor, which are fine, I guess, in their own regards. But you're just hoping that that he somehow is protected from the corruption also right. of leadership.
Welcome to Faith in Each Other. I'll be your host, Jordan Howard. And on this show, I want to dive into the minds and the beliefs from people of all walks of life, baby boomers to millennials. No question is off limits as we learn together and go through the journey together of seeing where we as a society have gone wrong and where we have gotten it right. I believe that our faith in each other can lead us into a beautiful future. Each episode, I will be joined by Reverend David Williams, my pastor, and his good friend Tom Ingram, as we talk through challenges facing our society today and gain an understanding from different perspectives. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our show, Faith in Each Other. I am your host, Jordan, and I am joined, of course, with Pastor David Williams and Thomas Ingram. How are you guys today?
Doing
good,
well.
Good.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you guys. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So a lot to be thankful for this year. But today we're going to speak on youth in politics and a particular individual, Jalen Smith. Young people are often not at the center of political decision making, even though almost half of the world's population is under 30 years old. Globally, less than 6% of the parliamentarians are under 35. Now, in Arkansas, there has been a new mayor elected, Jalen Smith. It is not even a year since Jalen was learning about the power of the youth vote as a student government leader in Arkansas. Now this pioneering teenager is about to put his knowledge to practice. Now he is the youngest African American mayor to be elected in the United States. In 2022, he was running for the Democratic Party. And he won the election in Earl, Arkansas. He won 235 to his opponent, Matthews, who received 185. Now, his victory made him, yes, the youngest black mayor in U.S. history. Now, I want to open the floor to both of you. How does this news affect you? What does this mean to you as far as politics go?
Yeah, to me, there are a lot of divides in America. Obviously, there's African-American, European American one, and then you got the rural urban one, and then you got the college educated, not college educated one, but you also have young and old. Mm-hmm. And if it is just my opinion, it's nothing more than my opinion, but my opinion of the money that we spend, our society spends, too much of it goes to the old and not nearly enough goes to the young. I don't see us investing in young people as much as we should, just in my opinion. And the reason I say that, it's good to help old people too, people of my generation. But the thing of it is if you help young people, then you get that whole benefit from their whole life from that help. Mm-hmm. So to me, the older generation should always be wanting to invest in the younger generation. And that's what I don't see happening right now. And I see the younger generation facing a life that's not as prosperous as their parents. Mm-hmm. So to me, those are both really good reasons for young people to get into politics, because I think that young people could use a little bit more representation. And to me, the COVID thing was another subsidy from the young to the old. Mm-hmm. The old were at risk, so the young had to stop going to school, mm-hmm. Stop their development. So to me, I just feel like my generation is getting a much better deal than the millennials. and getting a little bit of consciousness about how we're young people and we think you should be investing more in us, I think that would be totally appropriate. So for me, younger people getting involved in politics is pretty important right now.
Sweet. Thanks, Tom. Pastor Dave, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I just, you know, when I saw the information on Jalen Smith, it just kind of bumps right up against that generation. His generation is seeing through a set of different lens than the older generations. I think the millennials are more concerned about social issues. They're conscious about the world and how we are either saving the world or destroying the world through how we put bad stuff back into the ground. The word is just slipping right out of my mind, but I think that there is what he tells me when I saw his being elected as mayor, that I think our young people are more concerned about the behavior of the world than we give them credit. You know, I think they are watching and questioning leadership and the things that people are saying are important. I think Jalen, wanting to get into politics is really a sign that young people are engaged where we thought they're not. Where a lot of people think they're not. I think this is just right down the alley of where these kids, I don't want to call them kids, these young people are trying to make a difference. You know, so I think he's acting out what we thought was not on the radar. Yeah.
I had read that he is trying to improve the judicial system, improve right. the sewage and drainage. He wants mm-hmm. to bring a major food store chain back mm-hmm. into the town. So like those kinds
That's
of
a big
ideas.
Thing,
that is a huge thing. So like those ideas are like refreshing to hear for once, you know. Now, do either of you have a recollection of any young politician in your lifetime that was a benefit?
Yeah, John Kennedy.
Yeah, I thought about Kennedy. I remember when Jesse Jackson was still young, much younger, and spoke at the Democratic Party. And I can't remember if it was 68 or 72.
No, it's probably like 76. I voted for him twice.
Was it 76? Yeah. I just know, it was.
No, that would have been that was during the Reagan administration. That would have been the early 80s. Where he ran for president. He may have spoken to
Democrat,
but he ran for president twice.
I thought it was, you know, that just reminded me of that time, of the electricity of what was, you know, to see a young radical, you know, voice saying, you know, the change, it's time for America to have, you know, inclusiveness and change, whatever. So I think it has been that's the most, you know, in my face remembrance of a young voice being heard. Yeah. At a national level.
Now, Article 1 of the United States Constitution bars persons under the age of 25 and 30 from serving in the House of Senate, respectively. Is this an appropriate restriction in your opinion?
To me, I'm a big believer in experience. Mm-hmm. And to me, when you hit 13, there's a shock to your body that we all know about. And I think it takes a full 10 years to recover from it. And I think that people's judgments are very clouded during that period. So to me, 25 is kind of a period where you kind of pull out of it. Mm-hmm. But what I tell people, because in the business world, you know, we love slamming employees, right? And then the millennials just kind of get swept into that, you know, because they're terrible employees and stuff. And what I tell the people my age is that, you know, parenting is not a decision that you make on your own. Your parenting is part of the society in general. And we've decided to parent in a way where when kids get out at 18, they're not completely fully baked. They're more like half baked. And then they transfer these kids on to the workplace. And then we put them back in the oven and get them all the way done. So I feel like I'm doing a lot of parenting. But what I tell people that are hiring millennials like I am, is that the one thing that the millennials have is, and it's very similar to what Dave was saying, is they have extreme integrity, mm-hmm. right? They really have a sense, just my experience, not based on a study, just personal experience that I've had. But we have hired a lot of millennials at my company. And to me, they have this real high sense of integrity about everything. And what I tell people, other employers, is that if you take that integrity and use it the right way, it'll turn into work ethic. Because the work ethic is an integrity thing. So if you have that integrity to start with, that's a pretty good start. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And it may not be completely full grown adults yet, because her parents gave the losing team the trophy in the soccer tournament. But, you know, if they have that integrity thing, that's something that you can really work with. So that's what I tell people my age about employing millennials.
Okay. You know, I would say, Jordan, I understand the 25 age number to serve in the Senate. I think we had to start somewhere. I think as a nation being developed, that it wanted to make sure that the people who would help lead the country would have a vested interest in the survival of the country and I think in the governance of the country. I'm just not always sure our numbers are exact, you know, because, you know, I'll give a kid a gun at 18 and send him to Vietnam, you know, hopefully that he'll protect the nation and things like that. But then, you know, at 21, now you can drink alcohol and hopefully you can make good decisions. And 16, you can drive a car and things like that. I think our numbers are, I don't think they're exacts. I think they are just, I think we're trying to be as lenient, but yet watching for maturity for the betterment of others. So, you know, I think there are some mature young people just like Jalen. I think there are young people who are grabbing, you know, who would easily be able to say, hey, at 2021, you know, they've really matured. I don't have a qualm with it. I just try to understand the logic of it. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think 25, when I see now, you know, some kids, I mean, some people started working early in life, you know, they were working and raising their brothers and sisters, you know, they had to take, you know, they had to step up. I think that number 25 simply just says, we hope by this time you've learned you've had formal education. You've also had time to grow and mature physically and deal with your bodies as it's changing. And around 25, 30, we believe that, you know, you can think, you know, a little bit grander than you would like a 12-year-old. So I don't have any trouble with that. I just try to understand the logic behind it. Yeah.
Right. Now, should there be an upper age limit or maybe a cognitive test to see, to test their ability to see, you know, to serve, you know, things like that?
Well, see, I'll answer that real quick. We just buried the queen of Britain and revered queen was what, 94, 95? Right. And
she worked to her last day, yeah.
She worked to her last day. I mean, she got the prime minister in, blessed her and everything. I think we should watch people and I think there should be those around them who can help give good counsel and really vouch for are things, is a person in the national spotlight really revealing healthy behavior and solid health. I think that should always be there. I'm just not, again, I don't know if it's just a number. I think our numbers, we just try to use them for benchmarks, but I just think you, as when you're strong and able and coherent, I don't think there should be a number that, you know, when you get to be 75, you can't be a president, you can't be a senator or whatever. No, I think you should stay there as long as you are, or in any position or vocation, as long as you are contributing in a healthy and a solid way. I just think you should be able to go with it.
Okay. Well, the founders didn't need to worry about the upper limits because nobody lived that long back when, you know, during that time. So besides, like Tom said before, the youth having more integrity, and then, you know, the more mature ages having that life experience, what other benefits between youth being involved with politics versus the more aged generation being involved? What other benefits are there?
You haven't been so, you know, I think right off the bat, you haven't been so much tainted by the politics of the office. You know, you're not a career politician just yet. And I think you're still finding your platform. You're still finding your foundation. I think youth come more, as I say, more enchanted by the world, more seeing the world in a what it can be and the potential and the possibilities, where as you grow older, you become more cynical. You become more closed in your view of progress. And I think youth bring that. I think they bring that attitude of youth brings a freshness of the pioneering in us, where more traditional, more the older we get, the more we seem to rely more on what we've seen as the pillars of growth, which could be money, which could be, you know, family power, which can be all of those things that I think could be blown away. And I think different voices, different at different stages and ages, might be a plus in how we see the world and things that we would really invest in. So I just think they bring that youth brings a freshness of possibilities.
Okay. Tom, what would you like to add, Tom?
Yeah. What I would say is I feel like my generation has failed. I feel like for me personally, this is again, just personal opinion, nothing more, but I think word is in on our generation, and we're represented by people that were very divisive, that were divided the country. So I think that, you know, we can just go ahead and put the final score on my generation is C-, you know, being generous.
And, yeah, being generous.
I mean, you know, I mean, the democracy is still running, so it can't, you know, C-. Yeah, that's okay. But anyway, but I would reject the older generation's policy of division and try to take over with a new vision based on not what we did, but use us as a bad example. And as an example of what not to do, right? Mm-hmm. The most important thing is to not turn on each other. And if you turn on each other and divide up too emotionally, then you won't be able to run the government. The government won't operate for you. It won't be able to solve your problems. You may pass it on to the next generation, but it won't be able to help you. And so what I would caution you not to do, and this is what President Trump would say about, I don't have time to be politically correct. The caution I would have for the young people is try not to look into people's hearts, right? Because when you look into the other person's heart, you'll never really see a positive. It'll be a very negative experience. You won't like what you see. And I think the temptation to say, he did this, this shows he's a racist person from which he can never be redeemed from. And so then he gets thrown to the scrap pile because what's in his heart is evil. You know, I'm not saying that that's a bad way of thinking of it, but what I'm saying is I think when you look into anyone's heart, you'll see something that's negative. And to me, what life is we have negativity in our heart, original sin, and it's a struggle to overcome that. And even with that negativity in your heart, to be able to act in a way that's positive. So, but that would be the one caution I would give to the young people is if you look into people's hearts, you're not going to see something positive. I think that there's only the shadow knows what lies, what, you know, evil lies in the hearts of men or whatever that statement is. So I think that if you want to get to the point where you're less divisive, then trying to see what's in people's hearts, I would leave that behind and go more based on how they act.
Yeah. Jordan, can I just throw one other thing that I think what happens when this generation or young people contribution to government and leadership, there is not this strong connection to fantasizing about our past. You know, there were better days or there were not so better days. I think they're more present and forward looking. And, and I think that could be a plus because they are not just, I mean, we're not fighting 23 hours of the day talking about the past. I think they are more engaged in the present day situation. They seem to have an awareness about the things that are happening around them. It just they're not caught up in just facing the past and believing let's go back to the past. I think they are not at this time of their lives. They're not they're just not chained to the past, and they are looking more about what does it take to live together in our present, and then how could it help us to be launched into our future? And that's a voice we just don't hear a lot right now.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, like I had mentioned earlier, Jalen isn't the only 18-year-old to be elected in U.S. history, but he is the youngest African-American to be elected. Now, do you think a young politician like Jalen Smith can be effective in developing a plan, sticking to that plan, seeing it all the way through? Do you think he is going to be effective in that sense?
I don't see why he should be any less effective than anyone else. Yeah. I mean, and what I read about him on the internet, he sounds like a natural born leader. Mm-hmm. So, but just so you know, personally, I don't really believe in that. You know, if you have a plan and then you get more information, then you need to change your mind. I'm all for changing your mind. But to me, leadership is getting other people to do what you want and making them think that it's what they want. And to me, that's what he is. So, yeah, no, leading from a position of youth like that, that makes a tremendous amount of sense to me.
I was thinking about it maybe in a different light. I think his age, he does have experience, and I think there's something natural about him that's bringing him, you know, into politics, into government. But it's just like in any other leadership role, you need good, solid people around you. You need people who will help him learn the ways that of politics that he may not know just yet. And I'm hoping there will be mentors in his path. And right now, I think everybody is still using the terms of, you know, his youth and first, you know, African-American young mayor, which are fine, I guess, in their own regards. But you're just hoping that that he somehow is protected from the corruption also of leadership.
But he should feel comfortable with making mistakes.
Yes.
Do something new. Don't listen to the old people. And if you make a mistake, we'll fix it, you know? And then if you make a mistake, you might be, oh my goodness, that was the best thing that ever happened. Let's keep on doing this. You know what I mean? So get out there. If you're going to be the next generation, you got to mix it up a little bit too, you know?
Yeah. I just really believe that I hope those around him who have not only his supported voices from voters, but the town, when I looked up Earl, you know, it's a small, predominantly African-American town. It has some issues, but I think it will be a great place for him to get to know what does it take to run a community. What does it take to work in community? How do funds flow? How do you negotiate for a community, for a city? I think all of those things that he'll have to learn, that, you know, that there will be people who will help him learn his way around in a healthy way. So, but I'm excited for him just wanting to be in that position and stepping up to get into that position. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. More power to him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, Pastor Dave, do you think Jalen's involvement so early is detrimental to his life's growth and development? No, not at all.
Not at all. No.
Okay.
No, you know, again, age is a number. You know, it is, right. You know, we've had proteges, and we've had kids who have been way ahead of their time in the music world, in the arts, you know, but and they've proven to handle it. You know, they've had parents and great people around them, but it doesn't just rest on how old you are. I think it's how well you can develop. You know, how well you are developed at early ages. And so his being in politics early is nothing new. We've had this forever. People who are accomplished or just, you know, a savants or whatever out of this world in different areas. So I just think he could be, I'm saying again, I want him to be okay, but I think it will take his own passion mix with those who will help guide and continue to educate him, that I hope will lead him into a wonderful life if this is where he wants to be in politics. And we'll see that in years to come. The thing I remember, Tom, you might can help me, when Detroit, I think it was Kwame, Mayor Kwame, Detroit had a mayor, Kwame something.
Oh, yeah, I remember Kwame.
Kwame's in prison now, you know.
Everybody talked about him. They couldn't stop talking about him.
That's right. Kwame is now in prison, but, and I'm not wishing this on Jalen at all. I just think you just have to be careful when you get into power, positions of power.
That is what happened to Kwame, though.
That's exactly
what happened. He was too young and it went to his head. Yeah.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
It went quickly to his head. And next thing you know, you dancing with the devil, as one book says. So nobody wants to see that. I don't want to see that. And I just pray and hope that Jalen will find a real clear path to grow in and mature in. And there will be honest people who will tell him the truth and help him seek good balance in his life as he's developing in this new career path. I hope he just doesn't have all yes people around him, people who are just telling him, come on, let's write the book. Come on, let's get the book. You need to get the book. You need to create some fashion. You need to show him how a mayor dresses. I just hope that there's little or less of that and more of, really begin to see what does it take to change the conditions of a community and, how are those conditions met in a healthy way. So that's my hope for him, Jordan, is that as a young guy, I hope that he'll have 50 years of political life, of learning life and politics and stuff. But we'll see.
I do have real sympathy for people who achieve greatness at a very young age, because it's really hard to sustain. And you see that with movie actors and athletes and so forth and so on. And
exactly.
But and so, for me, if you become mayor and then you become whatever and then your career kind of dips at age 20, I think that's that I see what you're saying there about that. But to me, if you're going to get involved in something like politics or business or whatever it is in life, it's got to be okay to fail.
Sure.
You have to be able to forgive yourself. So, if you if it goes to your head, hopefully you won't end up in jail, right? That's a little bit permanent for me. but if you get to the point where it goes to your head a little bit, and maybe you say some stuff that's, it doesn't mean you have to quit. Right. And maybe you'll spend a certain amount of time in the wilderness. But no, I do sympathize for him for achieving such greatness at such a young age. I think that can be challenging for people.
That can be very challenging. I think of that book called Falling Up. I think it's there's a book that was out there called Falling Upward. It is It is expecting failure. Failure is just a part of life. But as you fall, you get up and you learn how to walk in those failures and help them to lead you into greater, you know.
And it's all the more difficult if you get elected mayor at 18.
Yeah.
Achieving that is not going to help you.
No. So I just that's something.
That would be my message to him is that, you're mayor at 18. That's a tremendous achievement. Some point in the future, you will fail.
Right.
You will swing and the ball will slice into the rough. And that's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Find the ball, play it, take your stroke, move on. You're still the person you were when you got elected mayor at 18. Yeah. Everybody has failure in their life.
Yeah. Be leery of those who can quickly bring you into fame and fortune at the expense of someone else. You know, be leery of that. You know, be leery of using your position for inside, you know, deals. No, you're there to serve the people.
But if you're not comfortable with it being on the front page of the Little Rock paper, don't do it. It's simple as that. If you're doing something and you're okay with having it on the front page of the paper, it's okay.
No problem.
And that's part of
your integrity.
That's part of life, making mistakes. You know, penicillin was discovered by making a mistake. Now, really quick, Pastor Dave, about how old was Jesus when he started running a ministry? I don't think I know when that actually happened. Was it defined?
Well, Jesus doesn't, you know, I was hoping we'd get to the biblical aspect. Jesus was 30, you know, roughly 29, 30 before he actually started running his ministry. But think about all the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and them, and David, you know, King David, you know, David is called to be king somewhere around 14 or 15, if our numbers work right, but he doesn't actually get the seat. He doesn't get into the seat till he's around 29 or 30. Jeremiah is called, you know, at a very early age. We have a lot of the Old Testament kings were kings at 9, 10. Well, there was a lot of killing people too, but you had kings who were kings at 9, 10, 12 years old. But they were guided by uncles, or they were guided by men and women who would take, you know, predominantly men, who would help guide them into a formal kingship. King Josiah probably was around, I want to say, 18 or 19 when Josiah becomes king. We see that through the biblical history. It's not about an age, but there it's about lineage. It's about how you're born into that position. But when you're born into that position, there are those who supposedly are to help you to manage that position. That's until a time that you become of age where your decision is straight on you. And I think that's, again, we use numbers for ourselves, but that's not always God's way. I think God has a way of looking at us for what he believes that's in us. And you can matriculate as God says when it's time, and that's on God, and we don't know God's ways. But we've had men and women who have become leaders at a very early age, and some have done well in the Old Testament, and some didn't do well at all. You know, some could not handle the pressure. I think about Eli's sons who were priests, you know, and the priest was just a wonderful position to help lead the people in government and before God. But Phinehas and his brother, just Hophni, they were horrible with power. They were horrible as young men with power. And I think it all just comes down to, just like Tom made that really powerful thought. If you're going to make a decision, can you live with it if it's in the paper in the morning? You know, can you just go, you know, hey, I'm going to make this decision, and how we arrived at it, we did X, Y, and Z, and we're okay with it coming out in the paper in the morning. Not everybody is willing to do that. You know, I just say maturity comes with a price. Leadership comes with a price. Power comes with a price.
Well, let me ask you this then, based on what you just said, would you agree with the statement that the civil rights movement, the Eyes on the Prize story, couldn't have happened without the enthusiasm of some of the young people and some of the older and some of the older people were like, well, what you're trying to do is impossible.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I know, but we're doing it anyway. And then it turned out not to be impossible and so forth, so on, so on.
The civil rights movement would not have made it without the youth in college and high school. It would not, because they were the face of pushback. They were the face of pushback. And King and Abernathy.
Because he wasn't really that old either, Dr. King.
No, think about that. He was 31, 32.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. When he gets thrown into national spotlight. So there is this thing about youth that we've just got to respect. I think they will take more chances than older people. They will say, hey, let's try it. Let's
sometimes it's good to not know that you can't do it.
Yeah.
Right. My greatest invention in mechanical engineering was not knowing that you couldn't do it. We were too stupid to know it wasn't possible. And that's how the invention came about. So yeah, no, I'm all for that.
I think young people just have that innate ability to try. I mean, think about our own lives. You know, when you're young, you do donuts in a car. You know, if it snows, you take the car out and go do donuts. I won't go near a donut right now, try in my car. You know,
yeah, but there's a million reasons why you know it's not going to work at our age.
There's a million and two reasons. This is not going to turn out good. You know, and I'm not telling people to go out and do dumb stuff because you're young. I'm just saying there's this greater freedom that I think young people bring because they're so untainted that there is an ability to say, all we can do is try. And if we fail, I'll do something else.
We'll fix it. We'll fix it, and we'll go back and we'll take responsibility for it and we'll try something else.
Right.
But it's not a reason not to act.
There we go.
Absolutely. Now, I want to ask Tom something. At what age were you that you started paying attention to politics?
Oh, my goodness. This is so embarrassing. But I started following politics. So my parents were obsessed with politics. My dad was, you know, just a very political person. And it was a very much a professorial, scientific type approach to it. But no, I got indoctrinated into politics very early. I remember watching the Nixon impeachment hearings from beginning to end. So yeah, no, I'm a weirdo when it comes to that stuff. So it's embarrassing, but I told the truth. So hopefully I get credit for that.
That's great. Thanks. Pastor Dave, how old were you?
Man, politics really didn't come on to play for me until college. No, politics. I mean, you are aware. I think I remember when Spiro Agnew was in the news, and a friend of mine used to always talk about Spiro Agnew, and I just knew he was vice president, but I just didn't mean anything to me. But by the time I got to college, the world, my world was changing in a different way. And you start to try to understand what leadership in America was making things happen for good, for bad. I was too young to really understand the depth of Vietnam War until by the time I got to college. And so
and realize you may have to go.
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah.
That's when I started getting interested.
When you want to go, why are y'all sending young people to Vietnam? You know, basically, I don't want to be one of those young people to go to Vietnam. And so it was at that time that I started to question the presidential position, understanding a little bit, and it wasn't in large amounts, but trying to understand the branches of our government, you know, other than just, I know we got a president and a vice president, you know, so as Tom was saying, his father was very much engaged. My parents were engaged more in the day-to-day transactions,
right?
You know, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and in a lot of ways, you know, being involved in politics only happens when you have your food on your table and
there's
heat in the house and you got clothes on, and now it's talking about politics. Yeah.
Right. Weirdly enough, naturally, other things come first. I started getting into politics about 29, 30 years old.
Okay.
So it kind of just naturally happened, you know, and some things, of course, recent current events that have transpired got me more aware, but kind of like your whole situation with Vietnam, like when you're like, oh crap, that's on our front porch, you know, kind of thing. So that's what got me involved. But naturally, I think my mind, decision-making, things like that, because cognitively, I think it's a male's like 28, 29 that they're fully developed, you know? So like, I'm starting to think things a little bit differently. Like you said, Tom, I have like bills paid and stuff like that, but like now it's like the long haul. How can, you know, thinking down the road and, you know, how is this position or this person in position going to affect my current status that I have currently? Because I want to protect it, you know, that's my thing. You
right.
know? So,
that age, you start to see how it really affects you. Hey, this is affecting my life. So I need to kind of learn about this a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, Jordan, I think one of the other things that kind of launched us into being aware of politics was getting ready to vote your very first time. Now, that that was a discussion from my mother and father. You have to vote. So at 18, you know, everybody was saying this is something men and women died for. You know, when we think about that, that if you want to see changes in the American government, then cast your vote. So that was kind of, maybe that was the front end of there's something about politics and your vote has influence in that. And so I've never missed an election. I've never, when I was in Congo, those 2 years, I missed an election. But outside of that, I've never missed an election.
Yeah, and I'm kind of disappointed with that Jalen Smith election too, that only 500 people voted out of 1800.
Yeah. But doesn't that,
you know,
our public, I mean, the 4-year election will draw maybe around 40% of the American public, 42%.
I know. Yeah. It's like, if you ain't got time to vote, then it can't be that bad.
Nope.
All I can tell you is, like, if they'd had an election in the Soviet Union, you would have 98% turnout. Oh, everybody would have been there.
Yeah. But that's normal in other countries, too, Tom. Mm. Other countries, people will get to the vote. They will. You carry 80-85% of people will vote. In America, we're happy when we get 31%.
Right. And if, you know, if more people could have voted in that town in Arkansas, then that would have made the mayor stronger, increase his credibility, would increase. So, yeah, I mean, even if you don't know what you're doing, if you can cast a ballot, at least it shows you are, you know, supported somehow, or you're throwing your support behind the system. So,
okay. Now I want to ask both of you kind of a question, Tom. Do you think an 18-year-old could run and maintain your company effectively?
Ooh, I think that would be really tough. Yeah. And, you know, and the reason I think that would be really tough is because nobody would accept it, right? Mm-hmm. The other people wouldn't accept it. And the way that, you know, people view it especially in a technical industry like mine, where it's like, you know, engineering type industry, that you really have to earn your stripes before you can be given any kind of credibility. So, and I think a lot of ways, when they put that in the Constitution about 25-35, I'm not really sure it was for practical reasons, but more just how it would appear, you know. But if you had an 18-year-old in charge of my company, like say my, one of my kids took over when they were 18, if I'd had a heart attack back then, it would have been the other people not accepting it that would have been the problem. It's not actually operating the company or making the decisions. It's more like people want people to do their apprenticeship before they step into a position of authority.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Now, Pastor Dave, do you think an 18-year-old could run and maintain your ministry?
No. Okay. And the reason I say no is you can be disciplined in some type of intellectual program, but it still doesn't make you aware of all the intricacies of running a business. And so many people think, well, you know, I could be the greatest car mechanic, but it doesn't mean I can run a business simply because I know how to work on cars. And so I think we've got to know that one discipline alone doesn't help you how to do the books, how to do the finances, you know, how to do the sales, how to pay salaries. You just don't get all of that just because you know one discipline.
Right.
I think it is. You have to learn what are all the pieces needed to make the company successful, not just because. And in my role, not just because you've studied the Bible isn't enough to run a church. Just because I studied the Bible. And that's, to me, is for any business. A great artist, just because you're a great artist, a painter, you know, doesn't mean you know marketing. It doesn't mean you know finance. It doesn't mean you know how to discipline your employees, how to hire.
But it doesn't mean they shouldn't have a voice either.
No, it doesn't mean that.
We still want to hear it, even if you're not in charge. Yeah.
Yeah, I just go, and that's the thing that I worry so much about is, and often in American public, people think that they're entrepreneurs, even if, you know, they are smart and they know how to build something, that they can run a business. I watched this one show, I'll tell you real quick, and it was people who have failed in restaurant businesses because they were really good cooks.
Right.
But they didn't know how to run the restaurant. You know, they go, man, everything I touch is good. I can make a souffle and all this. But I just wish I remembered this book. But it talked about that was their downfall.
Right. Because you're cooking to your standards, not the customer standards.
Not the customer
standards. It's standard. Not you. It's them. And we have that all the time in conveyors. I want it to look like this. I want to make it out of this. I think this is better. And it's like, and the customer doesn't want to pay for it. So, you know, they're in charge, not us.
So I just think that comes with growth. I think it comes with maturity. I think it comes with learning. I think it comes with all of those things that brings balance. And that's not a downplay on the 18-year-old. I'm not telling the 18-year-old you're not really a good person or you're not really intelligent as you. That's not what I'm saying.
Or you don't have anything to contribute. You do have something to contribute.
Yes, you have something to contribute along with others with you if you want to have a success.
And the old guy's making the final decision.
Yeah, that old guy's coming in. Yeah.
Final decision still with the old guy.
All right. Are there any final thoughts before we bring today's episode to a close?
I just want to say that makes me to see the Jalens of the world and the Janettas, you know, the Jalens and the Janettas, you know, paying attention to the world around them and then offering their services is a huge compliment to that generation for me. I my hat's off to, I hear in his voice, I want to serve the people that I live among. And I think that is way cool at his age. He could be thinking about, I don't know, 101 things, but he's saying, hey, this is where I want to invest my life in helping my community. And I think there are Jalens and Joellens that are doing the
and
same.
And Jordans.
And the Jordans, yes, and the Jordans. Who are doing this now, who are saying, I'm contributing now. Yes. And I thank you for reminding me. Jordan, you could be doing 101 things, but you hang out with two old guys. You know, that's
well, he's making a movie about Reconstruction now. So.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
that's my advice to you, Jordan, is don't be afraid to make mistakes, man.
Yeah.
Make a mistake.
Thank you. I'm glad you told him that. Thank you. Mistakes.
I appreciate that.
Mistakes do not define you. If anything,
yeah, it's like I made a mistake. Or you made a mistake. It's like, how come you made a mistake? It's like I'm young. Yeah. Come on, man.
You know, what do you want from me?
That's easy answer that one.
But there will be successes too. It's just
I know.
It's funny we just don't let people talk about. But this did work well. Because we call that pride.
It ain't going to be the first one. You got to go through an error, except for him, the poor guy who got elected mayor of that city, right. But Jalen. But
right,
yeah, there
you got to make mistakes first.
Yeah, mistakes are they're not the best thing, but they sometimes mistakes are the best teacher.
You got to get through them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, all right. I appreciate you guys for that. As young participation in the political decision making is the most important or is important to refresh the leadership and bring new perspective. Thinking outside the box could be what is needed to preserve our democracy moving forward. This is not the world that baby boomers grew up in, and is it important to acknowledge that and be open to new ideas. It is important to engage people of all ages in this process. We need to work together and look for what unites us. The younger generations are our future. We must find ways to get them involved and let them be involved once they are at the table. Without faith in each other, progression is hard to achieve. So let's all strive to do something to build more faith in each other this week. And I want to thank you, Tom, and you, Pastor Dave, for being here. And I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And, you know, I appreciate all our viewers out there. And we'll see you next time on Faith in Each Other. Thanks.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you so much for listening to Faith in Each Other. I hope today's conversation encourages you in your journey to have hard conversations and, most importantly, to listen to others around you. If we're going to have faith in each other, I believe we need to be willing to have hard conversations, and that is what we aim to do on this show. We will see you next time on Faith in Each Other. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with someone you know. See you next time.